Victor and Lois are siblings who were both diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Lois lives and works in London, and Hector is a student living in Vienna. In their weekly podcast, Anxiety Calling, they'll be talking about different aspects of living with generalized anxiety disorder and how they get by in day-to-day life.
Welcome to episode 12 of Anxiety Calling. My name is Lois.
And I'm Hector. And today we're going to be talking about gaslighting, which is, Loi, you can, maybe you can give us a short explanation for those who are not 100% sure.
So probably most of you will have heard of gaslighting before. It is something that has been talked about a lot, especially over the last year. Especially in connection with human rights issues, whether it's in connection with feminism or with racial equality, gaslighting is something that has been brought up quite a lot. And basically what it is it's a form of manipulation whereby the manipulator tries to get someone else, so it could be an individual person or a whole group of people, basically to question their own reality, memory, or perception. So it's kind of, it sort of makes you really question whether what you feel is real and what you are experiencing is real, or if you're kind of getting it all wrong. And this is usually used by someone in a position of power. So it can be used by, say, a politician.
Or from someone to get power, I thought, also.
The thing is, if it's like one-to-one, let's say, for instance, a very classic dynamic where you will experience gaslighting is in relationships. Mm. It's basically a form of domestic abuse, psychological abuse. And basically the gaslighter ends up in this position of power and is a more dominant figure within the relationship. Whereas the victim is then, finds it very hard to sort of break out of that dynamic. So then a very specific dynamic forms in the relationship where one of you is more powerful than the other one. But it can also happen on a larger scale, like in politics, so it's a classic thing that politicians do to kind of silence groups that are, you know, making trouble, which is hence why I mentioned, like with feminism, that's something that happens a lot. Or in particular, over the last year, we saw it a lot with Black Lives Matter, that people were gaslighting that movement a lot.
Yeah. So what would be, do you have a personal example of where, of gaslighting? Let's say in this, for today, would say in mental health or anxiety connected gaslighting, are there examples that you can think of?
Oh, definitely. It's something that does, I feel like, so for one thing, what I have experienced with myself is that I have a really good memory, right? Mm. And so something that's very hard for me to deal with is when somebody is questioning how I remembered something. And, but another problem with anxiety or with the anxiety disorder for me personally, what I do experience is sort of questioning whether the way I perceived something was in fact real because of how the anxiety sort of can kind of warp my perception in some ways. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it makes you quite susceptible to that kind of thing. And I have definitely experienced that in prior relationships where there was a very distinct dynamic of there being like very like sort of double standard situations of my partner or, you know, ex-partner having certain rights that I didn't have because of certain beliefs that that partner had, which meant that then, like, for instance, me having friends who were male was a big problem. So if I had a guy who was a friend, that was a massive issue for my ex-partner. He was very, very jealous and was convinced, always convinced there was something going on with these friends. But on the flip side, he was able to meet up with any person he wanted to, whether male or female, and he mostly had female friends. And I just had to kind of accept it. And the thing is, it wasn't even that I was jealous of them, because I didn't really see them as a threat. My problem was that I was in this position where I wasn't allowed to do some things and he was. But then it was always this thing of like, if I brought it up, then immediately it was like, you know, you're being controlling and you're crazy and no, you're getting this all wrong. This is perfectly okay because I'm trustworthy, whereas you are not trustworthy. And like all these things that my partner believed about me that weren't really what I believed about myself, but it was kind of just this, like, then this thing. And then basically it was easier for me to just accept that things were the way they were. And that if I did just choose to hang out with a friend who was, you know, a guy, then I would receive punishment in form of like withholding affection or something like that, or just like issues. Whereas if he met up with the girl, yeah, I had to just kind of accept it. And it was then this sort of thing where it was just so much easier for me to not approach him about things that upset me, or not approach him about things that I felt were unfair. Because the accusations that would then be thrown at me were just, it was too much anxiety for me. So I would then kind of like had a tendency to sort of accept things.
But I do remember being gaslighted, if that's the right way of saying it.
Gaslit?
Gaslitten? whatever. Anyway, but I do remember, I think, like you said before, my feeling is that I have a very good memory. But I have been in a situation of conflict with people. It has been work related, I think, and it has also been just on a personal friendship or relationship level. But I have experienced it once or twice or three times, I think, in the last 20 years that I can remember. And I did notice that when it happened in a phase when I was more anxious and having more problems with the anxiety disorder, it was easier, or it was harder for me to deal with the situation, because if we were talking about something that happened and I was 100% sure that it happened this way, mm-hmm. and the person said, no, that, you know, it just didn't happen, then in a moment when I was having more anxiety, I was less confident. And then I did actually start to question my sanity in a moment like that. And fortunately, I was able to talk to someone else who had witnessed the situation and knew that it was the case, that how I remember it was correct. And the person who didn't want to remember it, for whatever personal reasons, was just denying truth, as it were. But it is a very strange situation, because the difficult thing is I question my sanity, I question their sanity, I question their reasons for doing it. And I mean, if the reason is because they want to achieve something else, then that is one thing. But then, or if they actually don't remember it at all, or if I don't remember it, I think it's quite a very uncomfortable situation, however it developed and became that. And that'd be a great moment if you had like a rewind button or a chapter review option.
Yeah, or like a previously on, you know what I mean? When they do like a recap at the beginning of an episode of something.
Yeah. Or just CCTV footage. It's every moment of your life. I mean, of course, no, you can't have that, but those are the moments when you wish that you could rewind somehow and check things out.
Yeah, that's a classic one, is basically saying, so a classic thing that somebody who is gaslighting you would say would be basically saying that's not how it happened, or you're remembering it wrong, or
you're only saying this. I think in the context of anxiety could be, this is something I have heard before, and I did question, I wasn't sure if it was true, that you're reacting like this not because it's an appropriate reaction, but because you have an anxiety disorder.
Exactly. That is a classic one. That's where the, for me, that's where the anxiety disorder comes in whilst talking about.
Do you think
about,
you can gaslight yourself? Is that what people with anxiety do? I just thought to myself.
Yes.
Maybe this is something I do to myself.
The whole point about, here's the thing. The reason why gaslighting is so dangerous is because you start to question yourself and you start to doubt yourself and you start to doubt your memory and also you basically allow someone else to invalidate your feelings and basically to make it seem like you were the one in the wrong.
Yeah.
And that is really, really hard to deal with because
hard to recognize as well sometimes.
Exactly. I know that because there's always this thing like, oh, well, you know, there's always two sides to a story and, you know, this is the way you perceived it and this is the way they perceived it. But sometimes I've had people just literally pretend something didn't happen.
Yeah, me too. I've had
an entire event never took place. And that is really, really hard to deal with, especially if there's only two of you involved, right?
Mm.
There's only two of you who were there to witness this thing. And the other person says, I have no recollection of this ever happening. You're making this up. Or you're lying is another one. That's really, really, because that is really incredibly hard to deal with because, like I said, I know that I do have a good memory. I don't just forget things.
Then I think the difficult part to deal with there is the question. So you're 100% sure you remembered this thing happening. And what are the reasons? There are several options. Either the person truly can't remember the thing happening, which does sometimes happen, but if it's like a big deal, I doubt they forgot. Then either they don't want to remember it because they feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or what other options are there? I mean, but these are the things that go through my head in these situations. And I...
It's unfair because... Because it's always then just like, it's your word against theirs. You know what I mean? And then what?
I did also do some research on this whole memory thing as well. I mean, because it is a fact, actually, apparently. Apparently, it's a fact that the reason we do remember things differently. I mean, if it's like a completely, if people say something never happened, I find that doubtworthy. But I mean, just as a simple example, like 10 years ago, we were sitting in a cafe and a person came and talked to us, we might remember the person wearing different clothes. And it might be mm-hmm. a very clear memory. And the thing is, the brain apparently just replaces the parts that they can't remember 100% with fiction, as it were. And the fiction could be just a color or a type of a hairstyle or anything.
Disclaimer. They are not mental health professionals. Any advice or information given in this podcast is based on their personal experiences and is meant to raise awareness and help end the stigma of mental illness. Thank you for listening, and this message was brought to you by Jib, the disclaimer dude.
But this did also, reading about this did sort of unsettle me because it started to make me think, okay, which of my memories are actually accurate and real?
Yeah, it's also that it's like with a memory, right? Every time you remember a memory, you're remembering the last time you remembered the memory.
Mm.
You see what I mean? Yeah. So every time you remember it, you're remembering the memory. And every time you remember the memory, it might change slightly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Little elements of it. It's not necessarily the entire thing that happened, but like slight elements of it might change, which is why memory is a difficult one. Like I know that I do have a good memory because I can remember so many things that happened like ages ago. But then the whole memory thing, and like, because I have done a lot of research into memory, does make me very anxious because then it's kind of like, I do remember so many things so vividly, but then I kind of question, you know what I mean? I start questioning myself.
Mm.
Especially if somebody is just simply claiming something didn't happen. I'm kind of just like, where did this memory come from then?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, luckily it doesn't happen that often, but I mean, I think most people have probably experienced it at some point, and I think usually... the reason why people don't want to remember things is because they don't want to remember things.
Yeah.
Because they can't. I mean, that would be one. Okay, so the memory thing is one aspect of gaslighting. Another one would be, of course, saying
something isn't that bad.
That is a really difficult one to deal with because I think to myself, in those situations, I think to myself, okay, but I have a bad feeling anyway and I can't not have a bad feeling about this. So
yeah, or like, I don't know, it's sort of like
I can't force myself not to be upset.
Yeah, you're overreacting is a classic one. And then, because that's like the question is like, yes, and that's also why it's so hard when you have an anxiety disorder, because yes, sometimes I overreact. Like for instance, when my last Juul pod was put in the washing machine, did my mental breakdown from that, was that an overreaction? Yes, that was definitely an overreaction because I could just go downstairs and buy a new packet of Juul pods and it wasn't such a big deal, right?
Was it just one pod or was it the whole packet?
No, it was just one pod, but it was the last pod. And like,
and it doesn't work if you put it in the washing machine?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Because it got ruined. All of the liquid inside it. If there was any liquid inside, it would be mixed with detergent, which I shouldn't be inhaling.
Probably not, yeah.
But all of the liquid was gone because it like washed out of it. And it also went through the dryer as well. Washer and dryer.
Couldn't you just, so your whole flat filled with nicotine from the dryer?
It might have done, but I didn't smell anything out of the ordinary. But yeah, so that like that kind of thing, when I have a complete like conniption because of that, that was an overreaction, clearly. However, if someone does something like, you know, that hurts my feelings, is that really an overreaction? You know, it depends what I do. Like if I, you know, I don't know, drive their car off a cliff, that's probably an overreaction. But if I get angry with them and get in a fight with them about something they did that hurt my feelings, I don't think that's an overreaction. You know what I mean?
No. The thing is, overreactions, underreactions, it's, you know, it's very, very personal thing. You know, yeah. Some people are more, I mean, this is something I've often been accused of. It's got less as I've got older because I've probably got colder. I used to often be accused that I was too sensitive.
Yes.
That I got upset quickly about things. And I did, you know, I was more sensitive than I am now. I think now I'm just maybe more resigned in a way, or I just don't get into situations that upset me as much as I used to.
Yeah, or maybe because people kept gaslighting you, you've changed your behavior.
Maybe that's possible.
Some cases I definitely did overreact at things back in the day that I really didn't need to overreact to in that way. I think, but if that's what you feel in that moment, like I feel like your feelings should be taken seriously, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should have the opportunity to let your feelings out and then decide, you know, after having gone through them, how necessary or accurate or what's the word I'm looking for? Called for?
They
were. That was one thing I was thinking about. Another thing I was thinking about, though, another, I think a big thing about gaslighting, which we probably shouldn't forget, is so that we've had a couple of examples, but one example would be, like you said before, if I understood it correctly, but one form of gaslighting is saying you want this or say this because you're this or you're that. So I don't know, as an example, because you have anxiety, because you have depression, because you're a
crazy
woman, because
yes,
things like this. And this would happen, you said, in a political, could be a political context or even a public context where minorities will be...
their concerns
are not taken seriously.
Are not taken seriously, or I've just like invalidated.
Invalidated, that's it. Their concerns are invalidated. That would be another form of gaslighting, right?
What? Wait, say it again.
So in a let's say, political context.
Yes. So let's say a marginalized group is protesting.
And non-marginalized political figure will not take them seriously, or will what was the word you said earlier?
Will invalidate their concerns.
Invalidate their concerns or their claims or their wishes because of the fact that they are a particular group of people or a particular described group of people.
So we can't believe them because they are
women,
that.
For example.
Okay, so we can't take them seriously because they're women, and so
yeah, I mean, that did happen, isn't that what, you know, the whole suffragette movement had to deal with?
Oh yeah, for sure.
But so that would also be an example of gaslighting.
It's something that does it, like marginalized groups are like, I'd say, like it's one of the biggest, largest scales of gaslighting happens to marginalized groups. For sure. And like a big And a classic example of gaslighting a marginalized group is the whole whataboutism of like, you know, like, well, what about, you know, I don't know, I don't know. It's like, so let's say there's a, it's like, you know, there's a group of women protesting for women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be like, well, what about men's rights? You know?
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then you're like,
also, so supposing a group of women were demonstrating in Central Europe, and then mm-hmm. someone would say, well, you know, you're not as bad off as women in
exactly.
another part of the world.
Is exactly. That oh, that's a classic when they're like being compared to something else, which is worse.
Yeah.
Is classic. Like, and I've heard that so many times, especially in the context of feminism, of like, I remember someone saying, I don't understand what German women are complaining about. I mean, they're allowed to go to work, you know, and they're allowed to drive. And like in other countries, women aren't even allowed to do that. So what are they complaining about? What?
Yeah.
I think, coming back to the context of anxiety, I think the hardest thing that I've had to deal with is basically the idea or the belief of other people that what I say is not, that I'm basically not credible or that it's not believable because of the mental illness.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Well,
is a very hard thing. And I think I think the most recent time where I would have experienced that was after a breakup, a really difficult thing that happened was that my ex-partner contacted a bunch of my friends telling them, just in case I say anything bad about him, that I am, in his words, severely psychotic, basically, or severely mentally ill. And so they can't really believe anything that I say. So if I do say anything, they should come to him for his version of the story because I can't be trusted because of my mental illness.
Mm.
And it was a bit ironic because I hadn't actually spoken to most of these people about anything to do with him anyway. So it was a bit of overkill on his part.
Well, it probably backfired slightly.
Oh, definitely. Like, obviously I have good friends and they just ignored it, obviously. But what was quite hard and what was very hurtful was, well, for one thing, being classified as severely mentally ill was very hard to deal with because I do not consider myself to be, I don't consider like an anxiety disorder and depression, I guess they are things that I do take very seriously, but I don't consider myself to be like severely mentally ill to the point where people can't believe a word I say.
Also, these are the two most common mental disorders.
Exactly. In the world.
The world, yes. So.
They're not... This isn't something that you can't, that like, it's not something that warrants like mistrusting someone or being afraid of someone, basically.
Mm. You're right. It's also quite a dangerous thing in a way, I think, because there has been cases in historic cases where people who were suffering from mental disorders were basically locked up and in cases of abuse, then their witness report or whatever was not seen as something, I think, as not as seen as something
as
which
credible.
Was as credible, yeah. And I think that does still happen. I think that does still happen a lot.
It does. It is something that the gaslighter, so the abuser in that case, a classic thing to do is to kind of spread doubt amongst your friend group or amongst your network, to cast doubt about the credibility of anything that the victim says.
Mm.
For one thing, in order to cover their tracks when it comes to like stuff that might come out about them, like abuse and so on and so forth. But also just to be in that position of power, you know, and to make then the victim becomes more dependent on them. Like the more isolated they are from anyone else, the more dependent they are on their partner, you know, and that puts you in a tremendous like position of power. So
I think this is also one of the reasons why for a long time I really didn't like talking to people, telling people that I have particular things which are difficult for me, because of the fear of not being taken seriously. because of it.
Yeah, it is. It kind of like, in a way, like if somebody is so inclined, revealing to someone else that you have a mental illness, it's like giving them a get out of jail free card. Because it's, and basically they never have to, and I don't think it's necessarily even malicious when they use it again. I don't think they necessarily mean it to be malicious. I think it's more that it's always nice to not feel bad about yourself, you know?
That's the one thing, but I think our society as a whole does still discredit a lot of, or does discredit people with mental disorders. I think
it's sort of
really ingrained in our, an upbringing. You see it everywhere in literature and media. It is still there, I think.
Yeah, I really do hate it when I'm basically told, because basically, and I have been, this has been said to me enough times, that you're crazy, you know. I didn't do anything wrong. You're just crazy, and that is something I have heard so many times in my life, and that is like one of the, this really is one of the worst things. I really, really, really hate it, because then somebody says you're crazy, right? And then when you scream back, I'm not crazy, you seem more crazy. You know, the what? Your towel. The more, like, as soon as someone has said the C word and called you crazy, anything you do can be perceived as crazy. And it's a funny thing, actually. I'm looking way back. I remember on one of my very first dates ever in my life, the guy asked me, you know, like, you know, what are you most afraid of, right? And I took this way too deep. And I was like, my biggest fear is that either I will, like, literally lose my mind one day and wind up in a mental institute because I'm so crazy that I can't, like, function normally, or that somehow people will become convinced that I am insane even though I'm completely sane, and I will wind up in a mental institution despite being sane. And then I was like, what about you? And he was like, I'm a bit afraid of spiders. So he obviously meant something a little less deep. And
well, that can happen, you know. I mean, what I just had to think of when you were saying that was, I mean, people did actually used to get, it was a good way of getting rid of people, especially marginalized groups who were talking about inequality. People would be then...
Yeah, in particular women.
Locked up. Like, women
like,
would be...
You know, hysterical women. Like,
would be locked up in mental institutions.
They were diagnosed with hysteria and, you know, it would have been...
And those were places that did do such terrible things to people that you probably did come out damaged or traumatized afterwards anyway. So good things, at least in Central Europe, it's not happening quite as much as it used to, but there are cases where it's questionable, actually still happening.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get that far, but gaslighting is very widespread and happens like all the time. And like, I have to say, like, because I was doing a lot of research into it, and like, because I was questioning, have I ever done that? Have I ever been a gaslighter? And I'm sure I must have at some point done that too. Like, not knowingly, not on purpose, because sometimes it does happen. Like, you don't necessarily even know that's what you're doing, because you're just like so set in your, like, the beliefs that you have, you know, that you kind of impose them on someone else, and that, which is also a form of gaslighting. So I'm sure that those are things that must have happened in the past. I can't like pinpoint a particular time at the moment, but I'm like questioning that a lot at the moment. But I definitely sort of like, knowing now what it's like to be on the receiving end of being gaslit or lighted. It's sort of like definitely something I question a lot and have to like think about, to like also make sure that I don't do that to people, because I don't want to do that to people, obviously, you know.
Yeah. There has been a situation where I've done it long time ago.
I feel like as a teenager, I might have done that.
Yeah, no, I did, as, like I said, sort of early relationship things, or to get out of trouble.
Oh yeah, definitely to get
out of trouble.
With teachers, I definitely gaslit my teachers.
I did too.
I feel like you're remembering this wrong.
Yeah, I did, to get out of sticky wickets that I'd gotten myself into from all on my own fault.
Yeah,
I did. I feel definitely like, do that
because I'm like what I because like something I was thinking about a lot was. Just, there's a bit of an excursion. I'm not sure if this will make the cut or not. Something I see a lot is like people are so opinionated on like how long to wait after one relationship to have a new relationship, you know? And they're like, people are like, either they're like, it doesn't matter, do whatever you want. Or people are like, you'd never date someone who's just got out of a relationship. And anyone who dates someone straight after getting out of a relationship is just a weak human being, right? And I'm very much one of those people who says, just, can everyone just do whatever the hell they want? Like, just like, if you feel ready to start a new relationship with somebody, do it. If you don't, then take your time. Just do what you want to do. I don't think there's any set way, there's no set rule of how to do this, you know? And your personal relationship, again, is something like, there's no set rule of what works and what doesn't work. There are obviously things you should and shouldn't do, but like, you shouldn't let too many people kind of like weigh in on that. But when I was then looking, I've had it both ways. I've waited a long time after a relationship before getting into a new relationship, and I've waited like very little time after a relationship to get into a new relationship. And I can't really say which one's better at this point because I really can't see any difference. But one thing I did notice was after my first relationship ended because my first boyfriend left me for a friend of mine, and he had something going on with her for some time before that he did leave me. I waited a long time before starting anything new because I was like, I really want to make sure that I'm over this so that I don't bring baggage into the next relationship, right? Which sounds like a smart thing to do, right? But after over a year of waiting and like just trying to like kind of figure out, I don't know, who I am and all that bollocks, I started a new relationship with someone who I loved very, very much. But I was so still, the second I got into the relationship, I was so distrustful of this person and so convinced that he was going to cheat on me just like my first boyfriend had, mm-hmm. that I'm fairly sure that I did do gaslighting, that I was like so convinced that he was going to cheat that I was just like, I don't know, kind of accused him of things that I can't really say if they were true or not, because I think that a lot of them were just in my head. Not all of them, some of them were definitely true, but other ones were me kind of more overthinking things and worrying too much. But it was,
I think this is an interesting example of gaslighting can also be, it can be very how should I say, manipulative, in the sense that you think about it and you think, okay, I want to do this so that I can achieve this. Or it can be like it's because of something else which is going on inside you.
Yeah.
And it's like you can't stop yourself doing it even though you know that it's terrible.
Yeah, exactly. And it was this thing of like basically preemptively accusing him of things he hadn't done yet just so we could have the fight about it, so that I could sort of set the ground rules, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the healthiest behavior for sure. And it came from this very, very, this like really strong belief that I couldn't trust my partner because I trusted my partner before and he just completely like destroyed that trust, you know? Mm. And so because of the way he abused my trust, I then found it very hard to trust in my next relationship, even though I did what like so many people say you have to do, is like take your time and really try to like work through stuff. And I really tried to like work through everything that I'd gone through and was really trying to get over it and take my time. And even though I did that, even though I waited over a year before even contemplating seeing anyone new, the second I was in a relationship, all these old fears came flooding back, right? All these fears that I'd never really had before, because I didn't feel them in my first relationship, because I wasn't the jealous type at all. But
well,
then,
I mean, okay, this is, you know, this is what happens, you know, you gather what's emotional baggage, and then unfortunately sometimes in every new relationship you are punished for the new punished for the terrible things that happened to you in the last, in a way. And
exactly.
I try very hard nowadays to really take a close look at why I'm feeling something.
Yeah, definitely. It's gotten so much better now, and I have matured a lot. Like, I was a teenager at this time, obviously, so I didn't have a lot of life experience to go off, but the life experience I had on that particular subject hadn't been great. So the need to control, or like to control the situation and to be on top of it and to not get, not be hurt like that again, was so strong that I wound up being quite manipulative in that way, and also gaslighting my partner at the time, because not even knowing that I was doing it, I didn't do it on purpose. It wasn't something I like thought through. I wasn't like, didn't have like a handbook on how to gaslight someone or anything. I just was doing these things that were definitely not healthy and not good for the relationship. And I'm sort of see it now so much more clearly, also because I guess also spending the last couple of days like reading up on gaslighting to really understand it properly. I can see things that I did wrong. But I also can see very clearly and know now, I sympathize so with my ex-partner now because of like later on how I've been treated and how I've been gaslitted or lighted or whatever it's called.
God, I feel now terribly guilty about how I was sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sort of like, I've really kind of like experienced the flip side of that, like somebody who is crazy controlling and somebody who is crazy jealous all the time for no reason. And I know what it's like to sort of have somebody like put words in your mouth and like just like decide that this is something that you think or have done, even though you have given them no reason to believe that, you know? So I kind of know both sides now. And yeah.
This is the difficulty about specifically in the relationship situation, is that it is usually just two people. So both sides could be true on paper.
Yeah.
But I think so in a public situation, in a political situation, in a work situation, I've witnessed work colleagues gaslighting other work colleagues. And I try now to call them out in situations like that. But it is difficult in a situation where you have a hierarchy, a strong hierarchy in a work situation, where someone in a higher position will be doing this to someone. And but I think it is important to, if you can, call it out. In political situations, definitely, 100%. In work situations, it should be, but it's a tough one, you know. I mean, I had a good group of colleagues. They were constantly gaslighting a colleague, because, well, they were of the opinion that she was less intelligent and they could just do what they wanted with her. And I did actually then call them out on it. And then I did have to take it to a higher level, which then, of course, put me in a position of being very unpopular. But it was terrible what they were doing to her. She was, they would have, you know, damaged her if they'd been able to continue doing what they were doing.
That is something that from my perspective as a woman, like definitely at work, that's something that, obviously not so much in proper companies where they had like actual HR and so on and so forth, but like in other places, it was kind of this thing of what I witnessed. If I ever did speak up about feeling uncomfortable about sexual harassment, for instance, the immediate response was, what have I been called? I've been called so many things. A prude, a bitch, obviously, overreacting, too sensitive, completely misread the entire situation. It was not at all sexual harassment. And that was kind of, but the trouble was in some of positions, where it really becomes an issue is when it's being encouraged from higher up, you know? Where that kind of behavior is being encouraged from your bosses and so on. That's when you're just like, what do you do? It's really hard if you don't have a proper HR to complain to.
And if you're financially dependent on the
Yeah, that is also, and I've, that's something I've witnessed also so many times with friends of mine as well. Either a hostile work environment where they were very much, there were very few women, and so the men would kind of be just really, really sexist all the time. Or there would be a lot of sexual harassment, and they would I don't know, it was just so often the sad thing, or like university courses, even in university courses where there is like, you know, just statistically speaking, more men in these courses than women, the sexism is so rampant that it always made me very sad, because most of my friends just wound up quitting, leaving the course or leaving the job because they couldn't take it anymore. And they didn't have any support from professors or from HR or from bosses to like, so especially if it's like smaller companies, this is very easy in smaller companies which don't have like a big HR, you know, department to deal with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and because then if they did complain, it was just like, oh, you're oversensitive, or oh, you're on your period, you know, that kind of stuff. That's a typical one. Oh my God, every time you're angry and someone accuses you of being on your period, that's a classic gaslighting move that people do towards women that is really, 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 really annoying. But not, yes, oh my God, the amount of times I've heard that as well. Like, you know, are you on your period because you're like, you're being crazy right now, you know? Or what, I've been called a slave to my hormones.
You've been called a slave to your hormones?
Yes. I've been called a slave to my hormones.
Well, I mean, that is a very good example, so, of gaslighting. You're, you know, doing this because of your period, or because, in essence then, because you're a woman.
Yeah. And it doesn't stop. The worst thing is, you think, okay, well, you know, this can only go on and it's for as long as I'm menstruating. And then it's your, then you go through menopause, and then that's the next thing they can throw at you. Yeah, I think that's a classic gaslighting thing, is trying to find other reasons why you might be reacting to something other than that person did something to make you react like that. It's always trying to find outside reasons of why you're doing this, you know, why you're reacting like this. And yeah, it's just a systematic discrediting of your opinions, your feelings. And the longer it goes on, like, unfortunately, a lot of people just start to sort of like, you know, believe it. And especially if you, the thing is like, yes, gaslighting happens on a large scale politically too. But if you have a big group of people, you know, at least you have them to like validate again and remind you like, yes, you know, you're not going crazy. You're not complaining. This is a problem, and this is something that needs to change. If it's a one-on-one situation of being gaslighted by your partner, sometimes it's quite hard to kind of figure out until afterwards what was going wrong, you know? Like sometimes not until you've actually broken free from that relationship and you're either in therapy or you're actually able to like speak honestly with your friends about the relationship, because so many people, I feel like a lot of people who are victims of gaslighting or just general domestic abuse, they don't come forward while it's happening. That's a very hard thing to do. So they don't tend to actually open up and talk about it until the relationship is over.
Yeah.
At which point, unfortunately, the abuser can so easily say, oh, they're just a jilted ex, and they're just crazy, and they're trying to ruin my life because I broke up with them. You know what I mean? So again, you're being gaslighted again. Like, you're finally free from being gaslighted in the relationship, but out of the relationship, the other person can still have power over you and gaslight you and just say that you're crazy and you're just angry and jilted, you know? So like, those are sort of like, on the smaller scale, like those are definitely things that I have experienced, in particular in relationships, but sometimes also in friendships and other relationships.
Yeah. And on a larger scale, you probably just have to watch the news, and then you'll
And on a larger scale, all you have to do is watch the news to see some, you know, like
massive really gaslighting,
some really class acts of gaslighting that the politicians are doing.
Yeah.
And this thing is like, that's why I said, like, I feel like this is a word that's been thrown around a lot, especially over the past year, because this is something that I feel like especially politicians are actually being called out on it now. This is something that people weren't being called out on quite so much before. But that's also why I wanted to do like a bit of research beforehand to really get an idea of what it is, because I knew it was something that happened on a large scale, but also on a small scale. I can't really tell at this point what I find more scary. Probably the large scale stuff.
I mean, this is, you know, it's always a big question, but I think it's good that it is being discussed more and it is being called out more. And I do have the feeling that somehow the last, let's say, the last couple of years have been good and it is showing some improvement. So I'm a little bit more optimistic about these topics. But also, on the other hand, I think the more it's out there, the more you can see what's fucked up. And it can be quite difficult not to get disheartened sometimes or depressed about these topics because it is so rampant. On the whole, I think it's good that it's being discussed more and there is things happening. And
what I've also noticed is even though I have this really good, this concept of gaslighting in my head, and I know that I've experienced it and that it's something I know what it is, but it's sometimes so hard to explain in words.
Yeah.
You know, to explain in words what it is. But one example that I was thinking of is a classic gaslighting situation is All Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Because Black Lives Matter is a statement and then All Lives Matter is gaslighting that statement.
Mm.
Well, what about everyone else? You know? Mm. And that is a classic example of gaslighting and because they're discrediting Black Lives Matter and they're belittling them and making it seem like they're in the wrong or that there's something wrong with the entire movement and thereby discrediting it further. And it's a whole thing. That would be a good example of what gaslighting is.
Of large scale political gaslighting.
Of large scale political gaslighting. That would be a clear example of it. And I think it also comes from a place of not wanting to have to confront yourself.
Mm.
You know, and that as a person, in a personal relationship between two people, having to accept that maybe you did something wrong, maybe you did something that hurt someone else, and maybe you should look at yourself and change your behavior.
Mm.
And then of course, on a large scale, translates perfectly with, with the All Lives Matter thing, maybe society needs to take a good look at themselves and what they've been doing wrong and how they've been, how they've been neglecting marginalized groups, how they've been actively keeping them down, and instead of fighting for a more equal world and more opportunities for everyone, that would be it's just much easier to say that they're wrong and that they're crazy and that this is or everything they're saying is a lie.
I mean, it's also easy and comfortable not to confront yourself with these things because I'm 30 now, almost 31, and a lot of the awareness that I've collected in the last couple of years led me to really notice actually completely inappropriate behavior that I did have as a young man when I was growing up, because how I was or thoughts I had or things I said were up to a point normal things for anybody to say at that time or think. I mean, I was never, blatantly, openly racist or sexist or anything like that. But if I look at it on a close level, I did notice that there were things or behavior patterns that I had or ideas or things which seemed just a given, as it were, which now I just I see completely differently.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic internalized racism, sexism, homophobia, ableism, ageism. It's all or transphobia. It's all stuff that that's the first step is kind of realizing, oh, although I do not perceive myself as somebody who is actively racist or sexist or, transphobic or ableist, whatever, I have internalized stuff because I grew up in a society that is that way, So whether it's through the films I watched or the books I read or just what I saw on happening in politics and so on and so forth,
or things I didn't call out,
exactly. And these are things that if you recognize, okay, I've obviously, because we all have internalized race, and that's the thing, that's why people I feel like it's really hard to sort of swallow. That's a very hard pill to swallow, is all of us who have grown up in this Western society, especially if you grew up white, straight, middle class, you will have internalized racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, you will have those.
Yeah, and I did notice I had these. And
no, exactly.
It was uncomfortable. I'd have to say it was uncomfortable to confront myself on these things. And I'm betting that I still have many of these internalized vices.
Yeah, you'll have these like prejudices that have been like programmed into you.
Mm.
That you kind of, you know, like, you have to question, but like the recognizing them, that you have them in the first place, and not just simply blatantly denying that you have them, is like the first step. But I definitely know what you mean.
But it did make me feel, so these were realizations I had in the last couple of years, made me feel very uncomfortable about the fact that I hadn't questioned them beforehand, or that society hadn't questioned it, that we'd gone to school and had an education which hadn't questioned these things.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We'd had an education, and of course, as a child, you just, you know, you soak up what's around you.
Mm.
But thinking about these things, and now on an intellectual and emotional level, seeing how wrong and how fucked up society in lots of ways is, made me feel very uncomfortable about the years before, where I was just, you know, going with the flow, basically.
Yeah, and just not questioning things so much, and just kind of doing things. I particularly noticed that now, like when I watch things, shows and stuff that I watched as a kid, or like things that were done in the 90s, and I'm just like watching them now, and they make me feel, a lot of them make me feel deeply, deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, like sitcoms that are hugely popular still to this day. Some of them, when I watch them, although I did watch them quite late in life, I have to say, like some of the, you know, like really big sitcoms I watched not when I was already in my 20s, and watching them in my 20s, I felt incredibly uncomfortable by the homophobia, by the body shaming,
sexism,
the sexism, racism. Obviously racism, or just lack of diversity in general that was within the casts. These are things that, like, because I watched them quite, I'm quite grateful I watched them quite late in life, because like I was able to see them, I was able to like really question them, I guess, but they did make me feel deeply uncomfortable, and then it kind of made me wonder, like, why
they're so things,
popular.
But there are also things that, for example, you liked as a child, or saw as a child, and now I just can't enjoy it anymore.
Yeah, like James Bond. As a kid, I watched James Bond all the time, and I didn't question it at all. When I watched those, especially the old James Bonds with Sean Connery and stuff, especially knowing about what Sean Connery's, you know, views on domestic violence towards women, I watched them and I see him slap a woman in the face, and I feel so deeply uncomfortable by it.
Mm.
Like, so, and like all of the sexism in James Bond, like I watched them and I'm just like, this is just propaganda for the patriarchy. This is ridiculous, you know? And it's so racist. It's so racist.
But what I had to think about in this context, which is an interesting, for me, it's a very interesting thought, is, okay, so if we look at the 90s now,
mm-hmm.
when we were kids, and we see things which were not okay,
mm-hmm.
What will they see in 30 years from now about our times?
Yeah.
I think about what are we doing now, which seems appropriate, okay, and normal? How will one see that, you know, what are we doing now, which is absolutely not okay, but seems completely normal or even modern? Or,
mm-hmm. I mean, I actually see a lot of things now that I already still think, I'm like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just, like, why? Like,
yeah, well, anyway, once again, we've...
Yes.
We've come quite, not that far from gaslighting, because it all ties together somehow. And I think it's actually probably a good thing. It's probably impossible not to branch off into other topics when you're talking about this, about something like gaslighting. Mm. Yes, next week we'll be talking about...
A very different topic.
But maybe also quite... we don't know yet. It could also be... turn into more political or philosophical discussion. We don't know yet.
Existential discussion. Yes, we never know with us.
We're going to be talking about anxiety and food, or anxiety about food. Yeah, if you haven't already, give us a follow on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, or a review if you liked the podcast.
Also, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram if you have Instagram, because we post regular updates there and also additional material about anxiety and additional videos about our daily struggles with anxiety. And if you do and you want to reach out for feedback or to share one of your own stories or to ask us to talk about a specific topic in one of our next episodes, then give us a follow on Instagram. You can just put in anxiety calling, or our handle is @anxiety_calling. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you.